Hi, Nidhi. I would like to welcome you to this series of conversations with About Her. Now, the idea behind these interactions is to get women achievers, who we call women trailblazers, to share the stories of their lives with us, to tell us about their challenges, struggles, their ups and downs, and their achievements, so that other women can get inspired and motivated by their stories and, you know, step out of their comfort zones or whatever is, you know, holding them back and realize their full potential. Eventually, we would like to build a strong community of women who are there to empower each other, support each other, and so that everybody can grow together. So thank you so much for having taken time out of your busy schedule to be with us today. And let's get started. All right. So I'll begin with the sequence that I have already mailed. So a little bit about your early life, your childhood. I mean, if you would like to share with us.
I had, thankfully, a pretty normal, happy childhood, I would say. There's me. I have a younger brother. He's a couple of years younger than me. We grew up in England and the US before returning to India. I was about 13 when we came back to India. And that was a big turning point in one's life, because one had sort of become used to living in the US and you had your friends. And as a teenager, you don't like change. So that was a big adjustment. Language was a big issue. We are Kashmiris. We spoke English and Kashmiri at home, but not Hindi. So Hindi was very much like, you know, what you saw in Amitabh Bachchan movies, which is not the kind of Hindi you study in school. So those were some of the challenges when one came back. But rather than opting to study abroad, I decided to stay on in India. I studied at Lady Sri Ram College, went on to do journalism at the Indian Institute of Mass Communication. I topped my class. And then I, you know, started applying for internships, etc. NDTV actually rejected me the first time for an internship, only called me back for a job interview many months later, where two of us were selected for a job. So that's, in a nutshell, you know, the trajectory of one's childhood to one's career.
Okay, so any particular reason why you chose journalism and television, or, I mean, it was a natural progression? I mean, what was it?
Actually, when I was in school, I wanted to be a doctor. Like all, I mean, kids go through those phases, right, where you change your mind. And I really thought that that's what I wanted to do. And science with biology was my class 11 and 12 subject as well. But shockingly, my father was horrified at the thought, because he said, you know, why do you want to study so much? Why don't you do something creative with your life? And so very unlike a Kashmiri dad, he encouraged me, you know, to think of something else. But I still wasn't sure. And it was my mother who gave me the idea when I was in college. She said, well, why don't you think of doing TV? Because TV was becoming big, you know, Pranoy Roy, The World This Week. And she said, you know, you you read the newspaper, you keep up with current events. So this could be something. And I enjoyed public speaking. So the idea was planted by her in my head. And that's how, you know, the passion for news began, and television in particular.
Okay. And any particular challenges you faced, you know, I mean, when you started out or in the course of your journey, I mean, anything in particular?
To be honest, I think, and I've said this many times before, I think that in NDTV, a lot of us lived in a very, in a big bubble where we were, it was a very different organization. It was primarily run by women, headed by women, very women-centric. And therefore, I think a lot of the struggles, real struggles that women in particular have faced in journalism and in different newsrooms, we were sheltered from much of that. So to that extent, I think in terms of struggles as a woman, I was lucky to be in an environment which encouraged women to, not just be equals, but, you know, first among equals, you know, in a way. We would joke that we need to hire more men. So in that sense, I think we were very fortunate. No particular struggles, I think, in that sense, in terms of, I mean, there are regular struggles, I think, that all of us have in our lives, mm-hmm. but not because of one's gender, to be very honest.
Okay, but in particular in this field, I mean, journalism at that time, or TV for that matter, did you face anything, or it was like a smooth sail?
I think the challenge was to find a bit of work-life balance, and because TV is a very tough, demanding, physically, mentally demanding profession. That's one. I have to say that when I got into journalism and I became a political reporter pretty early on, that there were already a number of women in the print space who were leading, doing good political journalism, who had paved the way for people like me. And you'd see them like Anina Vyas sitting with her cigarette at the BJP press conference, and she took no prisoners. She would ask the BJP guys such tough questions, or so many others, who are still around practicing today, like Neeraja Chaudhary or Radhika Ramaseshan and others. And these are all, women in the print media who, just made it an easy progression transition for the rest of us. So they were pioneers in that way. And I think just one just threw oneself into the you kind of give up your life when you do TV. You give up everything else. I mean, your whole life is devoted to this in so many ways. So that I think is a big challenge. A lot of I think the new generation doesn't want to do that, and I think that's good. That's a more healthy approach to one's life. But we had a very different approach to it then.
So there was nothing known as a work-life balance.
No, not in the beginning. And for some reason, I mean, I actually think that's not a great thing, because having realized at this stage in one's life that this is important, I actually think that it's good when the younger generation today comes and says, well, I would like my day off. And I don't think there's anything wrong with that. You are entitled to that. You're entitled to have the space to breathe and spend time with your family. It's good for your mental health. It's But at that time, it was a very different work culture. At least, I mean, in the space we worked in, where it was like, quite relentless. Many men, like I said, your whole life was consumed by this. So I'm glad that today people have a more holistic approach to what work should, where your work should be and where your personal life should be.
And anything that you would like to now, I mean, that you've been there for so long, anything which was like your biggest success? I mean, if you were to go back in time and, you know.
I don't know how to quantify that, because I think that as a journalist, one of the great things about this profession is that you keep learning and you keep growing. Hopefully, not many journalists are doing that today, but you keep evolving. I don't know how to quantify success, and I don't know whether that's in terms of awards or just
No,
personal
anything that you
satisfaction.
remember, okay, this was something that was, I mean, that I wanted to do and I was able to do in that sense. You know, maybe it was something you covered,
Oh,
somewhere you spoke or some award,
so I
whatever.
mean, many things. Like I think early on in my career, I asked Pranoy if I could travel to Tibet to do a documentary, and he said yes. And it took me a year to get a visa, and I went and I filmed it myself. And for me, that was like a huge high. Not that I was reporting it, but I was filming it on my own and the putting it out there. So I mean, something small like that. So like that, there have been many moments in the last 22, 23 years, which one has had the, I mean, pleasure of having and seeing.
See, it's like something like when you look back and you know certain things, certain memories that you know just stay with you. That's what I meant by the question. Not
Yeah. Oh,
success
that.
in terms of awards, like, but
Yeah.
small little things, you know, which you remember and which kind of make you feel
There
good.
are loads of things. Yeah.
All right. Okay, and so you say you were there for about how many? 22, 23 years?
Yeah, 22 years. Yeah.
So at any point when you felt like saying that, okay, I don't want to do it any longer, or you needed to push yourself to stay motivated, to stay inspired, or it was like always like, you know, you
Oh
were
no,
there.
I definitely went through that a couple of years ago when I first left the organization for a year. I took a break and I went into teaching for 1 year because I was burnt out and I was tired and I was exhausted mentally, physically, and it was really a very demanding job. And in the current media environment as well, it's not easy. And so actually when I came back, I negotiated a 4-day week contract, which was fantastic. Like I think 4-day work weeks are the way forward, because it just gives you so much balance and time for yourself. And I also sort of, said I would not do any more administrative responsibilities, which I had earlier. So that helped me just focus on my work, like the journalism editorial part of it, rather than, looking at people's leave and things like that, which drove me crazy. So I was reading yesterday in Time magazine, how around the world many countries are now looking at this 4-day work week seriously, because people are finding it to be more productive. And I think COVID has changed a lot for people in terms of perspective on life and so on. So yeah, I did feel that, definitely.
Okay, and now that you've kind of, I mean, quit from there, so say 10 years from now, where do you see yourself?
I didn't know 10 months ago that 10 months later I'd be the this, so I've stopped predicting. I hope 10 years from now I'm healthy, I'm happy with whatever I'm doing. I don't know necessarily if I want to come back into TV. I don't know that yet. I have some other options, non-TV options that I'm looking at. I'll be writing. I'll continue to write my columns. And I'm in a good space that way. I hope that one day the space to do proper journalism in India returns. That space has shrunk at the moment, so one can only hope.
Yes, definitely. And so in this career spanned over almost 22, 23 years, what have been some of your, I mean, how should I say, most important learnings of your life, work, life, otherwise?
Well, one is definitely, what I said about work-life balance and finding, I don't think we should take pride in people working 14-hour days. I don't think it's a healthy thing. So I think that's one. Another big life lesson was that, I mean, learning to deal with people, being more patient and understanding that not everyone is the same. And, when you're a team leader in particular, that you need to rise above a lot of things and take the team along and encourage young people, young reporters, or whoever in the office, just give them a wider berth and allow them to make mistakes and teach them. So give them a chance. I wish some of the people I worked with had been more accommodating with me sometimes, but I think that that's very important. And as a woman, I would say that it's been a great experience, and there are so many wonderful women who have been my colleagues and continue to be my colleagues and are doing exceedingly well. And I think that the last 20 years has shown me that if you want to, I see more and more women breaking these barriers and coming into the media space, which is really very nice to see.
So you're a woman who's done so well for herself. How do you think people react to a woman who's done well for herself?
Well, I think a lot of people are encouraging, and there have the people there. There's people like you who would like to talk to me, which is lovely, and it's very nice of you. And there are others, I think, who are intimidated in general by women who are independent-minded and have strong opinions of their own. So social media is a perfect example of that, where very often women will get trolled for things, regardless of, whether 10 other people have said the same thing, but it'll be the woman who'll get particularly trolled for it. So I think a lot of these guys are just sort of uncomfortable with women who have a mind of their own. But that's too bad. That's okay. I think the positive outweighs the negative
Yes,
much, much more.
definitely. And it has, I think, largely got to do with them and their insecurities rather than anything else.
Yeah, exactly. Exactly.
Okay, another thing nowadays, like I could give you my own example. A lot of people, in their early 40s, late 30s, or maybe late 40s are like kind of switching gears and, starting to do something else. Like I've been teaching for 30, 35 years now, and not that I've stopped, but I started doing this, blogging, writing. I'm also into, I mean, writing a book and stuff. So why do you think people are doing that? And is this something healthy, or are we taking on too much, and like we're spreading ourselves too thin? I mean, how would you look at it?
I think it's a good thing. I mean, I'm one of those people. I'm 45. I'm going to be 46 in April. So I have to shift gears as
Oh,
well,
there
right?
you are.
After doing this my entire life. So I'll have some connection to journalism. So I'm also looking at something new. And I think, why not? I mean, my one of You had asked me about people changing gears in their 40s. So I'm one of those people who's going to do that as well at the age of 46. So I actually think it's a good thing, because I think if you are in a reasonably comfortable financial space, as long as you, I mean, are practical about it, it's perfectly all right to pursue something else, especially if you've been doing something for a very long time that in a way is leading nowhere beyond a point. I mean, I've known people who've given up high-powered jobs to do something like farming, and because it just made them happy. And life is short. Do what makes you happy, and what pays the bills, but most of all, what makes you happy. So if you can manage practically with covering your costs, etc., go for it. I don't think we're too old or that it's ever too late to try something new. Why not?
I agree too. So, any advice you would like to share with young girls who are just, on the threshold of their working lives, just maybe college and or maybe just beginning, starting out, anything that you would like to tell them?
I would just say go for it. Follow your dreams. Do what you want. Be happy doing it. And most importantly, from my experience, being financially independent is very important. No matter what, even if you get married tomorrow, etc. I know a lot of young girls tend to just, throw that away and say, okay, fine, ab to shaadi ho gayi and all that. But please don't do that. I think having your own economic independence changes a lot of things, and it's nice to have that, and something to fall back upon, especially if things don't work out, because that does happen. So stand on your own 2 feet and pursue your dreams, because there's nothing you can't do.
Tell me something. I've also been observing that a lot of young girls today, though, in spite of having access to better, education facilities, parents are also more open, are willing to send them abroad. I mean, something which I don't think, I mean, at least I wasn't able to. I studied in India. And at that time, I don't even think our parents had that much exposure that everybody thought of, sending their kids abroad. Or maybe, the admission process. I mean, I'm a part of it, so I know. So for various reasons, but these girls are definitely getting more exposure. But then, despite that, and maybe after working for a few years, they just want to give it up and sit at home and do nothing. I mean, this baffles me, and I've not been able to, kind of wrap my head around it. Why would they want to do it?
I mean, I think to each their own. Everyone has their own reasons for why they're doing that. I don't have any data to look at. I mean, in terms of women in the workforce, we do know that COVID forced a lot of women to get out of the workforce, because when people were working from home and schools were online, parents had to kind of make that choice about one parent being at home with the child, etc., when online classes went on forever. So I think we saw that trend where a lot of women ended up giving up their jobs because they just had to be, it just falls, on the women. So that was very unfortunate. If someone chooses not to work, that is a choice too. And whatever. My own personal advice to women in general is, don't give up your financial independence, because it does matter and it is important. And I think it empowers you in many different ways. And it's also something that, I mean, you grow as a person, I think, when you're keeping yourself busy with different things, whether it's writing, or even if you're working with an NGO, whatever it is that you're doing, something mean, it just adds a little more meaning. But not that I'm judging those who've I have my one of my best friends gave up a big career in television to bring up her 2 daughters, and and hats off to her. I think she made the right choice. That was the right choice for her. Another friend had 2 sons who didn't stop working and was working like 12-hour days, but has brought up 2 lovely young boys who are now in college. But that's what worked for her. So I think it's a matter of individual choice. I wouldn't judge people for not choosing
So
to
my
work.
actually the thing was that see when you have to leave and you have to make a choice maybe when you're midway in your career because of family or something that it's the young girls I mean because I teach young girls so I see a lot of them who don't want to work they feel that no I'll get married and like I mean I just feel it's something which is coming back in trend I mean what probably our mothers used to think that is what is, I interact with so many of them on a regular basis. And I just cannot understand. I tell them that why? I mean, at least work for 2 years, and maybe if something comes up, you take a call at that time. But why now? That no, I'm looking for the right guy, and once I get married, that's it. So that is what I was actually referring to. But I
I
guess.
should have done that.
Well, yes, but then what about the independence, which I mean, of
Yeah,
course.
I mean, I value it certainly, and I recommend it to all young women.
So can a woman have it all?
Of course.
Yeah.
Why not? Why not? And I, like I said, everyone's circumstances are different. So, I mean, there was a lot of debate about this, the question you asked when the New Zealand Prime Minister resigned and said that she'd just had it. And hats off to her for saying that she couldn't take it anymore and just wanted to step back. That's fine. That's her choice. She's done her thing. So you have to know what is right for you. I don't think we should judge ourselves by what society expects from us or what other people expect from us. We should do what we feel is good for us.
So I think in that sense, one has to be very clear-headed, because I think somewhere when a woman believes that she can have it all, she's taking on a lot more than she can probably handle. And
And yeah, true. But I guess a lot again depends on what are your circumstances at home. Do you have help? Do you have parents or in-laws that can help with the children, things like that. Do you have a husband who is an equal participant in, the household? And why should it just fall on the woman? So I think a lot depends on your own individual circumstances, and what kind of support structure you have as well in your family. That matters. I think that does matter.
So, but do you think somewhere we as women also are to be blamed for believing that we can have it all and maybe sometimes not asking for help when we should? I mean, unless I seek help, nobody's going to come and give it to me. I mean, you know.
And I don't think there's anything wrong with it. Ask your parents for help, ask your in-laws for help, ask why, what's wrong with asking for help? I think again, it depends on your circumstances. My friend, like I said, this friend of mine who worked these 12, 13-hour days in this high-powered position in NDTV, brought up two boys. She had the, she has a husband who's sort of very much a active sort of participant, and they share the household work together. They've made sure that one of them was always there for the boys at home, things like that. So they worked it out, and I think it worked really well for them. But this other friend of mine, she was the one who left her job to raise the two girls. She said, I don't have that kind of support, and I'd rather spend more time in their lives until they're much older. And then she's actually made her way back into the workspace once the girls hit their teens, because then they were a little more independent, and she's doing a lot more writing and things like that, and she's doing really well. So it really depends on your individual circumstances. But you're right, I think a lot of women are reluctant to ask for help and often end up taking much more on the on themselves. Everyone also expects, right, that it's the woman. So motherhood, home, cooking, everything comes on the woman. I can't cook to save my life, so I think my family would run away if I even offered it. So that's like great for me.
Which I think is somewhere I mean, this is just a view, and I think, correct me if I'm wrong, somewhere I feel that it is women of our generation who have tried to make it seem that a woman can do everything and should do everything, which is probably intimidating these young girls of today who feel that, I mean, I'm sorry, I can't do it all. You know, we somewhere need to
Yeah, and
change
that's
the
fine.
narrative and say that
Exactly.
no, a woman does not need to do it all. You only need to do what you feel you are comfortable and what you can do well.
Absolutely. Yeah, I agree with that. I agree with that. Absolutely.
Because I think I have been, I mean, I'm guilty of that. I mean, I used to feel that, you know, I can just do just about anything, but that's not true. So yeah, it was, I think, great talking to you. Now, the thing is that, like I said, I'm a novice at this. So I think I'll stop recording for to begin with.